today on Compassion Radio.
You know, we were both excited, and so we got to the training that day. We were sitting on the front row, still in disbelief, but eager to see the animals. The trainer introduced himself and did the opening prayer, and the next words out of his mouth were, "If you would like to go to Kenya to see zebras and giraffes, this is not the trip for you." So, of course, we took that as, oh, great, the Lord just let us off the hook, but that was not the case.
Right.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. You know, when you spend your life looking for Jesus around every corner, he's bound to show up. And when he does, it's safe to say that he'll be bringing powerful ministry opportunities with him. And friends, that means your chance to be a part of something that will count for eternity. Sonia Crowley and Sonia Pass began serving in Kenya, East Africa in 2004. These two remarkable women founded Kenya Believe It Ministries and have trained and led short-term teams and implemented socioeconomic village projects with a focus on church planting and women's ministry. Their greatest desire is to make visible God's heart for His people by empowering and equipping those in local villages and marginalized communities. Now, for the next couple of days, Bram's wife Sandy will be talking in depth with these ladies about the very important work God has called them to do. I'm Frank Montenegro, and here's part one of their conversation.
So we have today with us Sonia Crowley and Sonia Pass, and they are with TMS Global in Kenya, East Africa. So welcome to Compassion Radio, ladies, and thank you for taking time out to talk with us today.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us. It's definitely an honor.
Well, I want to jump right in and just talk to you about some things that we kind of chatted about a bit when I was in your home a few weeks ago. I'm so interested in your ministry. Now, first of all, I want to say you are both gifted with hospitality. I mean, that was such a precious time in your home, and you cooked for me, and you let me take a nap, and all those wonderful things that people do when they come into someone's home. But I want to talk about where you came from and how you got to Kenya in the first place. You're both from North Carolina, and you just had a chance meeting. Is that correct?
That is absolutely correct. Yes, we met each other through the church that we were attending and were serving at before we began our service here in Kenya. And the Lord had given both of us, and we didn't know it, a burden for a ministry, a very specific ministry for individuals who experience sexual or relational brokenness. And of course, that's not something that's freely talked about in the church setting, mm-hmm. but the Lord gave us both a burden. And because he had been dealing with me from the book of Nehemiah. When I went to talk with my pastor and just share with him what the Lord was speaking to me in hopes of ministering to others. And I spoke to him, shared, he encouraged me. Little did I know that the following day, Anya also had a meeting with the pastor. And believe it or not, the Lord had been dealing with her with the same topic and from the same book, from Nehemiah.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And so when she talked to him, he said, she was telling him that she knew that there was something missing from what she was studying. And he said, oh, you need to meet another Sonia. Believe it or not, she was just here talking about the same challenges. We connected and we sat down one day. We planned to meet together for about a couple of hours on a Saturday. And that turned into about an 8-hour meeting.
Okay.
And by the time we were finished, we had a 52-week Bible study.
Wow.
Out of the book of Nehemiah, looking specifically at the gates and how to rebuild breaches in our lives.
That's amazing. So from this meeting, this 8-hour meeting that you had, and this Bible study is born, where did you go from there? What did you do with this Bible study?
Another ministry had a similar program. And so we told our pastor about that and asked if we could go get some additional training before we actually started the ministry at our church, and he approved it. So we went away for about 7 days and received some additional training on how to actually facilitate groups and Bible studies specifically around sexual and relational brokenness. And then we came back to our church. The name of it is The Park Church, and our pastor is Bishop Claude Alexander, Jr. He is our father in ministry. After the training we received, we came back to the Park Church and we began the ministry, and it's called The Crew, C-R-E-W. Is an acronym for Christians Rebuilding Every Weakness. The ministry took off from that point. If you think about AA meetings, where there's normally a secret entrance, if you will,
right,
because dealing with sexual and relational brokenness in our church was not something that people wanted to really talk about. So we had a private meeting location on an undisclosed or unannounced day and time. That wasn't known to anyone other than those that were participating in the group until we could get the ministry off the ground. And it was very successful.
Is this years ago, like before you started coming to Kenya, or was this a lead into your trips to Kenya?
It was quite a bit of time before we started coming to Kenya. We saw a lot of transformation, a lot of healing through that group. And it just appeared that the Lord continued to open additional doors for us to do ministry and to literally work in the community with grassroots organizations, with the marginalized community.
Right.
That's really where we started, working with individuals and ministering to them, walking with people who a lot of other individuals felt uncomfortable about walking with them.
Right. So just kind of a life on life happening ministry.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. We did a lot of work in the HIV/AIDS arena. We both worked in the community. We did events and taking it to the streets, where we would literally walk up and down the streets in very highly populated areas where there would be issues of substance abuse, issues of prostitution, anything you can think of. So we literally walked in those communities to talk to people about where they were and to educate them about HIV and AIDS.
Do you have a specific story from that time that you could share with us?
Oh, wow.
Pick one, huh?
But there's one where we were out in the community one day, an area that's well known for drug activity. But our focus was education on HIV and AIDS and sexually transmitted diseases, and offering opportunities for people to be introduced to Christ, of course. And we were inviting individuals to come testing sites to be tested for HIV. And one of the communities, we were walking through actually a parking lot at a shopping center, and there were these two individuals in the midst of a drug transaction when we walked up. One of them turned to us. He looked extremely angry that we were interfering with his transaction. And we said, "We're not here for that. We're actually here to offer you an opportunity to be tested for HIV, other sexually transmitted diseases, and there are some other things that we would like to talk to you about once you come to be tested." And so that's our purpose for being here today. So they were very shocked that we didn't care. In reality, we did care.
Right.
But we had to build a rapport with those individuals and protect ourselves at the same time,
sure,
in hopes that they would come to the testing site. And those individuals oftentimes would come to the testing sites, and there would be opportunities for us to share Christ and give them life-saving information. So that's just one example.
You're listening to Compassion Radio. Coming up next, more biblical insight on the historical mission of the Christian Church.
Friends, since 1999, Compassion Radio and its partners, that means you, have been doing something extraordinary. We've reached out in very practical ways to save the lives of abandoned babies in South Africa. Now, there are orphanages all over the world. Why this one? Well, because of a singularly amazing family and a marvelous transformational idea. And the idea was this: make it easier to save a life than to waste a life. Well, on the surface, that sounds like a ridiculous mission statement. But consider this. At the end of the 20th century, at the height of the AIDS crisis in South Africa, dozens of babies were being abandoned by mothers with no hope each and every month. Being infected and outcast, often addicted to drugs and unable to afford to care for their newborn, and facing arrest if they tried to give up their babies to authorities, the desperate took desperate measures. They were convinced their babies would die anyway. Until, that is, the Berea Baptist Church and the Allen family made that radical statement and did something about the crisis. Since the day they cut a hole in their church wall and put an incubator in it, they've rescued thousands of infants from certain death. No longer would a hopeless mother have to add murder to her burden of guilt. You, friends, had compassion on both mother and child through your generous giving. I'm asking you again for it now. The reason is obvious. There's still a need. And the work of Door of Hope keeps getting better. The new Hope Village is under construction, and when it's done, hundreds of kids not adopted will be raised in family groups in a nurturing community with its own playgrounds, church, elementary, and trade schools. Door of Hope showed us how to save a life once. Now they're showing us how to save lives time and time again, and as a result, saving generations. Will you give generously this year? It's our 20th anniversary of this project. And here's the best part. One of our generous Compassion Radio partners is providing a special matching challenge grant. If you give, they will match your gift, but only during the current month. $4,000 has been set aside for this special matching grant for the month of February. I'm asking you to make sure that every dime of that challenge grant is at least doubled or multiplied many times over. So give today. Here are four ways you can do just that. Call 1-800-868-2478 or go online to CompassionRadio.com right now to make your gift. Or send your gift by mail to Compassion Radio, Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And lastly, and maybe best of all, you can donate in under a minute by simply texting KIDS to 53445. Thank you, friends, for helping Door of Hope save a whole new generation of precious children with your generous gift today.
You're listening to Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. Compassion Radio with Bram Floria.
Well, we had to build a rapport with those individuals and protect ourselves at the same time, sure, in hopes that they would come to the testing site. And those individuals oftentimes would come to the testing sites, and there would be opportunities for us to share Christ and give them life-saving information. So that's just one example.
That's great. Is this still happening back home in the area that you were in, Charlotte, or is it evolved into something different now?
I think it's evolved into something different because there was really a core group of us that were not afraid to go into these areas. And so... Yeah, so I don't think individuals go in the same manner in which we did.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a bit different now.
So how did that ministry that you were involved with and were passionate about change into what led you to Kenya?
That's a great question. As we were doing more and being more involved in the community and actually being involved with the issues and the challenges that were in the community, our pastor, Bishop Alexander, received an invitation through a friend of his out of Virginia to take a mission team to Kenya. And what we learned at that time was that there were over 800 people dying every single day in Kenya. That was 2004. And because of the work and the commitment that we had to educate and to help with prevention and advocacy as it relates to HIV and just marginalized people in general, our pastor invited us to just sit down and talk with him about what type of ministry could be done around HIV. Because typically, and of course, during that time, it was very unusual to say HIV and AIDS and ministry in the same sentence or breath.
Right, right.
So he just wanted to talk to us to see what that could look like. So we sat at a conference table, talked with our pastor, made some suggestions, talked about some of the work that we had done. And we left the table that day thinking, fantastic, we've assisted our pastor. It's just an honor to be able to do that. And we went on about our day. And within a week, we both individually received a phone call saying the first meeting for the mission team is going to be at this particular date and you should be there at a particular time.
Right. Okay.
Why? Because pastor has put you on the team and you're going to Kenya.
Okay. It wasn't a question of whether we were going. It was pastor said, you all are going with
you
him
are going
to Kenya. Right. And my response was, where is Kenya, South Carolina? Because surely he's not talking about Africa.
Exactly.
We actually ended up going to a day's training, still in some disbelief that we were going to Kenya. The funny story about that is that my favorite animal is a giraffe, and Sonia's favorite animal is the zebra.
And there's great evidence of that in your home. Both of those.
And so, you know, we were both excited at the opportunity to go to Africa. This is where our mind was at the time, mm-hmm. to see zebras and giraffes. And so we got to the training that day. We were sitting on the front row, still in disbelief, but eager to see the animals. The trainer introduced himself and did the opening prayer. And the next words out of his mouth were, if you would like to go to Kenya to see zebras and giraffes, this is not the trip for you. So, of course, we took that as, oh, great, the Lord just let us off the hook, but that was not the case.
Right.
And I think this was in November of 2003. And mm-hmm. then we came to Kenya in February of 2004. And at the time, Sonia and I were the co-team leaders of our AIDS care team ministry at the Park Church, which, interestingly enough, at the time, the Park Church was the only African-American church in the entire city of Charlotte that was addressing AIDS and serving individuals living with HIV and AIDS through their congregation or through their church. Mm-hmm. And so it was really huge for us to participate on the team and to come to Kenya in that capacity. And so February 2004, we set foot on Kenyan soil for the first time.
First time ever. And just felt absolutely at home.
Right.
There were individuals on the team, of course, their first time being out of the States, their first opportunity to come to the continent of Africa. There was a lot of culture shock, a lot of individuals having some issues adjusting to the different time zone, to the food, to the weather, to the different smells that are here.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes if you're not accustomed to them, we watch team members struggle a little bit. It's nobody but the Lord, because neither one of us struggled. It's like, wow, we've come home.
So you feel like the Lord was preparing you ahead of time with the ministry that you were involved with on the streets in Charlotte, maybe prepared you a little bit for what you saw on the streets in Nairobi.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
I would definitely have to say I agree with that.
Yeah.
Just like the word compassion and the fact that what we did in the States was all about compassion ministry. Then we came here and it was as if we were doing the same thing just in a different cultural context. But it felt like we were doing the same type of ministry here when we arrived.
Absolutely. And the Lord did so much preparation in us personally, as well as preparing us for the ministry, much of which we didn't realize, which I know that happens to us often. We don't realize that the Lord is actually preparing us through some circumstances that may appear to be a bit difficult or challenging. But it was all preparation, which we realized once we got here, even in the fields that we worked in and for a secular job. Sonia was in banking, I was in HR, we both were in management, and just all of that was preparation, as well as walking with individuals who would be considered marginalized. Just absolute preparation to come here and to serve and walk alongside our Kenyan brothers and sisters.
So from that initial trip, then you began to make trips more often. Was it like once a year, or how often then were you going back to Kenya before you actually moved there full time?
Actually, we came in 2004, and then it was August of the same year that our pastor was supposed to return to Kenya. And we received another phone call that said Pastor Alexander was supposed to return to Kenya in a few weeks, but he's unable to go. And so he is sending the two of you in his place.
Okay.
Another opportunity where there was not a question, it was a statement. And so we packed our bags and we came back. And then after that, we came anywhere from 2 to 4 times a year for many years.
During that time, then, you were doing the same kind of ministry that you did in Charlotte, transferring that over into Kenya, or was it involving another ministry? How did you begin to work with TMS Global?
When we initially began serving in Kenya, focus was, of course, only HIV/AIDS education and prevention, life skills training. So as we continued here in Kenya for about 3 or 4 years, we were invited by the Kenyan government, because of the success of the life skills training that we were doing in some of the local high schools, we were invited to expand to Isiolo.
Okay.
So as we prepared to expand to Isiolo, the Lord opened up many other doors that our ministry began to go in. Prior to that, our introduction to TMS Global, once we realized that the Lord was calling us full-time to serve in Kenya, our pastor recognized the fact that our church was not equipped to support full-time missionaries as it relates to managing health insurance. Our church had never had missionaries before.
Okay.
We're literally the first two. We were introduced to a man that was working with TMS Global, which was the Mission Society at the time. And we had a Skype call and just began to share our heart. And he began to share the structure of the Mission Society. And it was just a perfect match.
So, gals, all of this stuff is so interesting to me, what you're doing and how God brought you to this point. All of this ministry that God has brought you into in divine ways led you to where you are now. We'd love to talk about that more tomorrow. Would you guys be willing to come back again and share with us what you're doing now with TMS Global?
Oh, for sure.
Absolutely.
All right,
love
great.
To.
Thanks so much.
This is Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. If you missed anything today, you can listen again anytime. Just open up a browser on your computer, smartphone, or tablet and go to CompassionRadio.com. And while you're there, go ahead and take a moment to find out more about this ministry. Again, it's CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you liked what you heard, please consider supporting Compassion Radio. First, with your prayers. When you pray for us, God increases the effectiveness of this ministry by empowering the Compassion Radio team for service and by opening doors of opportunity for us to be a blessing to the body of Christ. Second, please share this broadcast with a friend or loved one. This will help us reach as many people as possible with the important work God is doing in the lives of those who live in a missional way. And finally, please consider supporting this ministry financially. Compassion Radio is 100% listener-supported. That means it's your gifts that make it possible for us to continue. You can support Compassion Radio right now by calling 800-868-2478 or by visiting CompassionRadio.com. When you're there, just click on the Donate button. Again, it's 800-868-2478 or CompassionRadio.com. Now, if you'd like to show your support using your smartphone or tablet, you can just text the word compassion to 53445. That's the word compassion to 53445. And of course, you can always mail your gift to Compassion Radio, P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's P.O. Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. Thanks again so very much for taking the time out of your busy day to listen. And please be sure to join us again for more Compassion Radio with Bram Floria. This program is sponsored by Compassion Ventures Incorporated and your generous financial support.